designed to help you read better. I'm writer, filmmaker, and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, actress, filmmaker, and e-reader. This episode, we're making some reading New Year's resolutions and testing out ways to track your reading. But first...
What are you reading, Bria?
Oh, I am reading... Oh, I didn't think... Here, look up how to pronounce this woman's name. But it's called Chemistry...
Oh, by Wiki Wang?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That was good. I'm not sure how you totally pronounce her name, but that seems right.
It's a big buzzy book of 2017.
Big buzzy book. And also, it's not like the typical book that I would normally pick up because, you know, there's no dragons.
Yeah,
there's
I was going to say,
science fiction
happening. Nobody's in space.
No, but it's about a woman who is a graduate student in chemistry, and her boyfriend proposes to her. It's written from a first person perspective, and it feels like you're reading someone's like daily journal about what they're concerned about. And so, Mallory, are the cats going to be too distracting for you?
Speaking of concerned.
I feel like the cats are too distracting for you to do the podcast here.
This is the first time we've ever recorded the show at my apartment.
Yeah.
I just have cats
Mallory,
everywhere.
I may have to call it off because you're too distracted by
the cat directly
your own
above
cats.
My head right now.
All right, what are you reading, Mallory?
I am reading The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne, which is just punching me directly in the heart. It is amazing. It is a big-ass book. It is a huge... It's a big 2017 release by the guy who did The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which I never read, but I know that was another big book. And this is basically... It's just like an epic story of the main character's life, Cyril. He is an Irish guy, and he's adopted, and it's about his life with his adopted parents, who were both kind of weird, and then like his journey, like he goes to live in Amsterdam, and he goes to live in New York, and he's like struggles to like... and because he's gay, and in each city he like struggles to deal with how accepted gay people are in each city. And like,
and when is it set?
It's set in he's born in the 40s, so it's like from 1940 all the way to like early 2000s. And it is so good, and it is so funny, and I know it's gonna make me cry. So I'm like, I have like 100 pages left, and I'm ready to like sequester myself in the bedroom so I can have a good old sob when it's done. Honestly, I love it. It's wicked good.
I honestly had this on my reading list, and I took it off because I thought I just couldn't handle it.
It's
just
pretty
seemed
intense.
Like a lot. It's a big book full of like tears.
Yeah,
of tears.
It's the book of tears. The heart's invisible tears all over your face. So we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback from our book covers episode. Aranka wrote in, I wanted to tell you about my favorite book covers. I'm a huge Potter fan and have been since I started reading the books at age 6. I'm Swedish, so obviously I was reading the translated copies before my English got good enough to read the originals. Here's the thing. The Swedish hardbacks have the most gorgeous covers. The illustrator is named Alvaro Tapia, and he's created these beautiful, highly detailed cover illustrations that are just perfect for the series. They're inlaid with silver contours, which really give you a magical feeling. I agree. Silver contours always make me feel pretty magical. I love these books so much, and it always fills me with a sense of pride to think about how, in my opinion, my Swedish copies are the prettiest among all the Harry Potter books in the world.
Whoa, Gauntlet Throne.
Seriously.
Gauntlet Throne.
Although, let's be real. I looked them up on Google Images. She might be
kind of pretty.
Silver contours really go a long way.
We can post those on our Instagram too, so people can see what they look
like. Yes, we should. We'll put them, when this episode goes up, we'll put them on in the Instagram Reading Glasses podcast. They are very beautiful.
I also think that we should, if anybody else feels like they have the more beautiful Harry Potter covers.
Should we throw down this?
Listen, I think we should have a contest. The most beautiful Harry Potter covers, because there's a lot of
all over
covers,
the world,
right?
Yeah.
Every world. Wait, every world has a different one.
Whoa. Interdimensional Harry Potter.
I don't know. If you feel like you've seen the best Harry Potter cover, I'd like to know.
Yeah. Let's get that going.
So Mike wrote in and said, I just listened to your podcast on book covers, and I'm glad you brought up the topic. There are so many books I passed on because of the cover and got angry at myself when I finally read them because they were great. Ones that I can recall are Holes by Louis Sacher, The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Jester, Dawn by Octavia Butler, and the entire Harry Potter series.
That's pretty hilarious.
Seriously, I passed on that series because of the covers. I didn't realize how dumb I was then. I've actually grown to love those book covers. The British versions are even better.
Whoa.
Another Gauntlet Throne.
Seriously, this is getting intense here.
Some of the best series or books I've read have had some of the worst covers. When I look for a book series, I usually read the first chapter and see if it grabs me. That's not to say I haven't pursued a book because it had a cool cover. Of course I have. I'm only human, and cool artwork draws me in. That being said, a few of my favorite book covers are The Republic of Thieves by Scott Lynch, The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss, and the fifth book in The Witcher series, The Lady of the Lake.
That's all you, Bria.
Man. By Andrzej Sep. Kowski, which coincidentally is published by Orbit Books.
Yay!
By the way, I've never read the Witcher series.
Neither have I.
I feel like it's something I should pick up this year.
I think maybe it's something we both should pick up.
Because it's getting made into a show.
Yeah.
Or something. Okay.
So you can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. As always, we want to thank Danielle, who runs our Facebook group, and Chrissy and Rachel, who moderate our Goodreads page. And remember, guys, you can buy Reading Glasses tote bags and bookmarks now in the Max Fun store, link in the show notes. So if you want to show some love to Reading Glasses, you can get some merch from us. Before we talk about bookish New Year's resolutions, we're going to take a quick break.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
And together we present Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions.
We explain the historical significance of everyday etiquette topics, then answer your questions relating to modern life.
So join us weekly on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
No RSVP required.
Check out Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
This week, we're kicking off the new year. Happy 2018, everybody. So right now, everybody's buying gym memberships, getting diet manuals, but here on Reading Glasses, we're thinking about books.
What's a diet manual?
I don't know.
Like one, like it's like a workbook you have to work through?
Yeah, like don't eat crap.
Okay, fine.
Lesson one.
Don't eat crap, the diet manual.
So lots of readers sign up for year-long reading challenges. They set book goals for themselves or they buy reading journals. But where do you even start with all of this stuff?
Okay, Mallory, do you want to know how many New Year's resolutions actually people stick with them? Do you know what percentage?
10.
8.
Wow.
8%. 92% of them
that
fail.
That doesn't surprise me.
The reason I read a lot about New Year's resolutions, and people probably know all of this, but the reason is because we often think of New Year's as a start date and don't do like incremental changes. So we try to do one big change right at the beginning of the year. And the problem with the start date is that we think of it as having an end date.
Yeah.
And so like psychologically it screws us up when we try to make like a big New Year's resolution.
Interesting. So I should just eat, should I just go back and eat crap instead?
I think if you're new, well, I know the idea is like you were like, and like I'm going to quit eating chocolate for the month of January. Like you do it in, like you do it for amount of time. Or you do small incremental changes, like you're like, I'm no longer going to eat French fries, you know, and then the next month you're like, I'm no longer going to eat a dessert with every meal.
Well, you know what my secret is?
Tell me.
I start 2 weeks before the new year.
With what?
My resolutions. Well, so Bria, do you make New Year's reader resolutions?
So I was looking through, I do New Year's reflection at the end of every year. And I saw that I do tend to make some in the past, like I've made a few. 1 year I was going to read more plays. I do not think I actually achieved that. And 1 year, I was really determined to spend more time reading instead of social mediaing, and I do think I achieved that.
Yeah, I think you did really well with that this year. I say that as if I'm your supervisor. Like, well done, Bria.
Good job. This year, I didn't have a specific one at first, and then I started thinking about it, and then I was like, you know what? Actually, I have a few. And I wrote them down, and there are three reader-related resolutions. Oof. Reader-related resolutions.
That's the first one is being able to say that.
Yeah, and I'm going to reveal them at the end of this segment.
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be very thrilling.
Stay tuned.
What about you, Mallory?
So, yeah, for the past few years, I set a loose goal for myself to read more diversely. I don't like setting hard goals because then, again, it will just stress me out and I'll feel like I'm behind on something. So it mostly involves me being more cognizant of my book choices. It helps that I track my reading. So when I look over each month, I can say, man, you know, I need to bump up my translated books. I haven't read one in a couple of months. I need to read more LGBTQ+ authors. I don't set a numerical goal for the year, honestly, just because I read a lot. And I don't really need to. I usually average out about 150 books a year. So it's become much more about what I read than how much I read.
Oh, yeah. If I had like a specific goal number, that would really stress me out.
Yeah.
But it's fine if that's what people want to be doing.
Yeah. So what's the point of setting bookish New Year's resolutions? You might want to read more, so having a hard number goal could help motivate you. You might want to change something about your reading life, like you want to read more genres or try new authors. It's just generally a good way to improve your reading life if you're unhappy with it in any way.
But you can also set New Year's reader resolutions.
We're getting there.
That don't actually involve reading specifically, like not numerical ones, right? So you're still a reader if you read
one book a year.
One book a year, you are a reader.
Yeah.
Literally, one of my girlfriends, we're all on this group chain thing, and I was like, what's the best book you guys read this year? And she was like, I didn't read any books this year. Wait, I read one book.
There you go.
And I was like, that's awesome. I think the book was, Is Dream Warrior a book? That's a
Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Love Warrior.
Love Warrior.
She definitely did not read the Nightmare on Elm Street book.
I would read
Love
that.
Warrior, which I
Love
read.
Love Warrior is the Oprah book pick of some year, it's some month.
Really great. I read it while I was staying at her house. It there was fantastic. But yeah, so she's a reader. She read one book this year. It was her favorite book she read.
Bam. See, makes nice and easy if you only read one.
Or so you can set a different type of goal. Like, give some examples.
So yeah, if having a numerical resolution is going to make you stressed out and feel bad, just skip it. Try something else. Like, maybe you want to visit more indie bookstores. Maybe you want to vacation to more bookish places. Or maybe you want to go to more author readings or signings. Maybe you want to try a book club, make some book friends, snazz up your home library.
Ooh, I like that.
I just did that yesterday.
Look at you. I actually was reading on modernmrsdarcy.com, adorable site. And they had some really cool suggestions for non-specific, non-numerical related resolutions, like changing your wallpaper on your phone to say, I'd rather be reading, to remind yourself to read instead of jumping on social media.
Oh, that's really cute.
Super cute. Or tracking your days that you actually did read in a calendar. So like having a calendar and you were like, I read this day, I read this day, I read this day. And you can look and see, oh, I read a book 20 days in February or whatever, instead of like, I read 20 books in February.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, I thought.
Yeah, so again, like we don't, New Year's reader resolution shouldn't be stressing you guys out. It shouldn't be making you feel bad. It shouldn't be like, oh my God, I gotta do this thing. Reading is about fun. It's not about how much you read, guys.
By the way, we're saying all of this, and at the end, I'm gonna tell you all my stressful resolutions that I decided to make for myself.
I cannot wait. So I travel a lot, so I usually try to pick a cool bookstore or a bookish place, like an author's birthplace or famous library to travel to. Oh my gosh. So yeah, me and my boyfriend just got back from Iceland because if you guys can remember from the traveling reader episode, I've been wanting to go there to witness the Christmas book flood, and it was pretty amazing. We went to the library there. We went book shopping at a bunch of bookstores. So my 2018 traveling reader goal is to visit Powell's, which I have never been to, and I might never leave, so just heads up.
I'll go with you because I go visit my mom in Portland a couple times a year.
Let's do it.
And then
that way you can like drag me out with a net after two hours.
I can. She lives on a houseboat, so it's really fun. And she probably has a net for dragging things out
of
the water.
Yeah, you could just hook me up to the houseboat and, you know, just set the get the engine going.
Okay, what about book challenges? What about book challenges?
So if you do want to have a resolution that involves reading specific things, book challenges are a great way to go. You can make your own with like monthly or weekly goals. A lot of websites have the yearly challenges.
I found a lot of reader challenges online.
Literally just Google 2018 reading challenge. Book Riot's Read Harder Challenge is always awesome every year. And you can, you know, check with your local library. They often do yearly book challenges or monthly book challenges. Goodreads has a yearly challenge, but that's purely numerical. Like you set a number goal and every time you mark a book as read, the number goes up, so it's pretty easy to track. And speaking of tracking, we're going to review some book tracking journals after the break. First, I'm very, very intrigued to hear Bria's New Year's reading-related resolutions.
Okay, so people who listen to the show probably know that I really love an assignment from an outside source. This is my favorite way to get things done.
Bria loves homework.
I'm an obliger. I'm great with homework. And I feel like it's time for me to get out of my reader shell because I mostly read sci-fi and fantasy books. So I'm going to do... I did a lot of Googling about what the best reader challenges are. And it's like, read a book with... People had like, it's like stuff that was like annoying, not annoying, and I don't want to insult people's reader challenges, but it was stuff that was like, read a book with an X in the title, or
with an X?
Read a book with an ampersand, or read a book.
Serious
with
side
somebody,
eye to these book challenges.
Like stuff that I was like, oh, it's just like not relevant. Like, and I looked for something that was like,
also, how is that going to improve? Like, who's lying around going, man, you know, I just don't have enough ampersands in my life.
I know. Well, I think it's just
my life is bereft.
I know. And the thing is, like, I could find an ampersand in it. Anything I read, like I'll like find, yeah, it doesn't, but it's just, that's not weird. That's like, it's like that's just a way to get you reading, I think. Is it like, oh, you're, yeah, but so I decided to do the Book Riot Read Harder Challenge because I felt like it would get me out of my reader space.
Come back to
Although
Earth,
number
Bria.
Three is read a classic from genre fiction, which I was like, ooh, I can get behind this. But then there were a few that I was like, nah, I don't want to be doing this, which I thought was a good reason to do it.
Yeah,
like for example, read a book about nature. Okay, or read a book of colonial literature.
Colonial literature.
I know.
That's very interesting.
But then there also is like...
How to make milk.
how to die at the by the age of 20.
But the tales of churning butter.
But also, like, number 17 is a sci-fi novel with a female protagonist and a female author. Easy.
Done.
or an assigned book you hated, which I thought was pretty good. There was another one that I thought was really, a romance novel by or about a person of color, which I thought was going to really get me out of a reader slump.
Yeah. Because
I don't know if I've ever read a romance novel.
I was going to say, we can go to the Ripped Bodice.
I know. Yeah, totally. So I just thought it would be a fun thing for me to do. So that's my first New Year's resolution. My second one is I'm going to keep up with my reader journal because I started this year to limited success. But I'm keeping it next to my bed, and I feel like that is like the key because then I'll finish a book usually in bed, and then I'll go and fill out the reader journal.
Oh, yeah, that's like my favorite thing is like going – when I finish a book and going to my reader journal and like –
No,
I
for me, it's a chore. It's just a chore. But I'm going to try to keep up with that. And the third New Year's resolution, reader related, is that I am going to try to find the best way to put what I read on social media because
– You're an e-reader.
I'm an e-reader, and so I never know like what to like – I never know how to show people what I'm reading because I don't
have a cool
book cover.
I still think you should just
take
a picture of your e-reader next to some cool stuff.
That just seems like so much work. But okay, I'll think about it. I'll think about
that. That's what I do.
With
my regular, do what I do, but with your e-reader and like on the title page. You have a cat.
On the title page.
Put it on top of Malachi and just take a picture of it.
All right. Well, so I'm thinking I'm trying to keep up with my Goodreads. Maybe I'll try to do the Instagram. I don't know. I want the listener feedback if you're like following me on any of these. So you can give me feedback as I go throughout this year and see how that works. And those are my New Year's resolutions.
So if you guys have some tips for Bria or you have some 2018 reader resolutions you want to send to us, you can email them to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we review some reading journals, we're going to take a quick break.
SF Sketchfest is just around the corner, January 11th to 28th, and there will be plenty of Max Fun shows there to represent. We're bringing Judge John Hodgman on the 11th, Jordan Jesse Go with special guest Andy Richter on the 12th, Smanners on the 14th, We Got This with Mark and Howe also on the 14th, The Greatest Generation and Friendly Fire Podcast Super Show on the 17th, Pop Rocket host Guy Branum's talk show The Game Show on the 19th, and One Bad Mother on the 21st. You can learn more about these shows and get tickets at MaximumFun.org/SFSketchfest18. Get your tickets now.
Now it's time to look at some book tech, advances in bookish technology. A great way to track your reading is using a reading journal. But what do you use? A blank notebook? A calendar? It's kind of hard to buy them online because you want to look inside. This drives me crazy whenever if I buy some on Amazon, you can't look at every single page.
Did you see every single page? Aren't they the same all the
way
through?
No, not the one that you are holding in your
lap.
That's
true. This one's pretty impressive.
So, you know, it's good to test them out beforehand. There's a lot of specific book tracking journals available, but they differ wildly. The one we're talking about was on our Reading Glasses Amazon wishlist, and it's about $7. It's great. We're going to link to it in the show notes. So thank you so much to the listener who sent us this. If you want your name shouted out, let us know or email us because we don't want to like name you and if you don't want to be named. But so this one is about, it's 120 pages of room and has a page for each book with the title, author, notes, comment section, a spot to review it. It's got a lot of detailed information, which I really appreciate, and it has a blank note section in the back, a little list area for the books you bought. It has a bunch of stuff and has a book like a reading recommendation list in the back and a place to put your favorite quotes. Like it's got a lot of stuff, which is
yeah, and it has a place to put your books you've loaned to people.
Yes,
which I know you feel very strongly
yes
about.
I do.
You'd have several in here from me that I haven't given back to you, but yeah, it does have the 100 Amazon's 100 best books to read in a lifetime. The Golden Compass is on there. Handmaid's Tale. A lot of good ones.
Yeah. So I like it a lot. The reason why I really, really like this is because it has a lot of space. And my problem with a lot of the reading journals is that there's only room for like 50 books. And that's just not enough space for me.
No, I'll go through three of those a year.
I know.
too short.
I know. So this one can fit probably over 100 books. I'm very impressed. It's not fancy. It's not bound in leather or anything. But for the money, for only $7, this is a great reading journal. 5 out of 5 pages for me.
The cover is really cute, too, because it's not – some of the reading journals can be a little, like fancy calligraphy kind of things, which I'm, like, not that into.
Yeah.
But this cover looks like a weird, like if a peacock was a bush.
If a peacock and a bush
made it,
love.
Then that's the cover of this. Because it's good. It's good. It's, like, not masculine.
It looks
not
like
feminine.
It looks like a notebook, like a workbook.
It does. It looks like a workbook you would have in like third grade. And yes. The way it's designed. I mean, I'm into this. I think my only concern is that like it's a lot of information to fill out for every book. And as you said, you like to go and write about it because on each page it's like title, author, date published, page count, date started, date finished, my review, inspiration, book number blank. Memorable quote.
And then it has little stars to fill in. How many ratings
that
out of five
I like.
Stars?
I like the stars part.
It's like a real life Goodreads.
I like this. I don't think I would do all of the filling out of all of the little slots for each book. Because, like, I'm not about
to
look
up. You don't have to.
You like this kind of stuff, though, knowing who published what book and stuff.
Yeah, I try to read as widely as I can. And what I do every year and what I just did for my 2017 reading is I'll go through my entire book journal and I make a list of all my favorite books of the year and I can go through all the ratings and be like, all right, well, which ones are the ones that I really like? And sometimes when it's December and you're looking at the books that you read in January, you're like, I don't fucking remember.
I don't remember those books.
Anything about this book besides the fact that I gave it like a A-minus rating. So you would use this, Bria?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this is also a 5 out of 5 pages for me because it's very cool. Like I said, it's like not like super over the top, but then there's a lot of things if you like want to fill out things you can, but I don't think you have to feel the pressure to fill out everything. But yeah, I think it's really cool. I'm really into this book journal. We'll put a photo of it on our Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to use it this year?
No. So what's funny is that because I normally track them so intensely, I'm actually doing the opposite that you're doing this year. So I'm trying to be a little more loose with my
less tracking.
Less tracking. I'm going to my book tracking journal for 2018 is just going to be a blank notebook.
That's what mine is currently.
And I'm just going to make a giant list.
Oh, no. Well, who's going to use this?
My boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Alan has already decided that he's going to use it.
Well, we love it. And thank you for whoever sent it to us from Alan.
From my boyfriend. So it's time to solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Sarah writes, a few years ago, I decided to get back to reading and started making reading challenges through Goodreads. It's been awesome motivation to read a little each day. My problem is that sometimes I find myself getting more excited about finishing a book to add to my read list than actually enjoying my book. How can I keep pushing myself to consume more stories and content while also living in the moment of the book? So this is the downside to tracking your reading, and we wanted to solve this problem for you guys right off the bat so you can track your reading without problems. Bria, what should you do?
I mean, I do get this. It's kind of like the Instagram phenomenon where like sometimes the likes that you get on your Instagram feel better than the experience of the Instagram. There's this weird thing in LA right now where there's like this place that people go and it's just for Instagram photos. Do you know about this?
No.
I don't want to tell you. I don't want to like give it advertising, but it's a place and it's mostly like advertising there for what it is, and people, it's designed just for Instagram photos. Side note. So as a goal-oriented person, I totally feel this. I just wonder if there's an aspect about the fact that it's a public gratification on Goodreads, like Instagram, that is making Sarah feel this way. So, like, I'm wondering if Sarah should take up a journal, which I'm way less likely to get excited about filling out, and not share it with the world to see if you still have the same problem, to see if it's, like, that people are seeing what you're reading, and maybe they're liking it or they're talking to you about it. Maybe if you kept it private, then it would be more about the book and less about the I've read this list.
That's a really good point.
This is just, I don't know. This is just my thinking, but I don't know Sarah, but this is how I would probably feel too. What do you think, Mallory?
So, Sarah, I think it's time for you to shake up how you track your reading. So instead of reporting each book directly after you read it, I think you should keep a list on your phone or on a piece of paper of just what you read. Pick a day at the end of the month or week, if you're an Uber reader and you're reading like 5 books a week, and enter them all in then. That way you won't be as focused on it, since you know you won't be adding it to Goodreads as soon as you finish. You know, you'll give yourself a little bit of time to think about it. And I do this when sometimes I travel and I, like, instead of putting all of the books into Goodreads and into my book journal as I'm reading them. Like, I just got back from Iceland. I read like 5 books while we were there, and I got home and added them all after my trip so I could stay focused on reading and stay focused on the trip instead of like, ooh, I just finished. What rating am I going to give it?
Oh, that's interesting, because I find Goodreads to be my journal that I don't forget. Like, that's the one that I'm like, I can do it right now because it's on my phone.
Yeah,
like, really,
I don't
easily.
Think we're friends on Goodreads. I just realized that. How fucking funny is that?
Because I don't go and look at other people's, really. I just use it as like a book
tracking
kind of thing.
I just realized that I don't think I've ever seen your Goodreads.
And I don't put everything on Goodreads because there's a lot of things I'm like, I don't really like that. Well, I'm not going to give that a score.
Yeah.
Everyone knows how we feel about the Goodreads public scoring
system. It's very true.
But if you want us to answer your reader questions, you can send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com.
So if you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It's really great for us and it helps us reach more readers. It makes me really happy. And Reading Glasses is pleased to offer interactive transcripts of the show through Greta. Go to GRETTA.com/reading_glasses to read and turn your favorite Reading Glasses moments into clips that you can share out on social media. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com, find us on Twitter at readinggpodcast, on Instagram at readingglassespodcast, and you can always follow along on our bookish adventures using the general hashtag readingglasses. Thanks for listening, and thanks for reading.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.